Good morning, family and friends of Alamo United Methodist Church. That is Alamo, the place to be on Sunday mornings. For anyone looking for a new church home or just one to visit and kind of check them out, come see us any Sunday morning at 10:30. We're located at 1071 North Foster Road, and everyone is welcome. The scripture selected for our opening this morning is Psalm 4, taken from the New Revised Standard Version of our Bible. Listen for God's word in this reading. Answer me when I call, O God, my right. You gave me room when I was in distress. Be gracious to me. Hear my prayer. How long, you people, shall my honor suffer shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the faithful for himself. The Lord hears me when I call to him. When you are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder it in your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, "Oh, that we might see some good. Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord." You have put gladness in my heart more than when their grain and wine abound. I will both lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me lie down in safety. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you so much. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that we were able to get up one more day, see the light of another day. We thank you, Lord, that you got us up from our beds, our hospital beds, enable us to move around with a reasonable portion of our health and strength. We're thankful for this, Lord. Oh, Lord, we're so ungrateful. Forgive us for our ungratefulness, Lord. And, Lord, we thank you that we're able to come and worship today. And we ask right now, Lord, that you would wrap your arms around the congregation, all those who are gathered here and those who are gathered outside. That, Lord, that you would bless them and comfort them and encourage them today and let them know that you're with them and everything's going to be all right. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Will you stand for our opening hymn? Lord, I want to be a Christian.
Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart, in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart. Lord, I want to be more holy in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be more holy in my heart, in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be
For this week, on Tuesday at 10 a.m., the Women's Bible Study will meet in Building B. And they are studying a book which was written by Sheila Walsh, and it's entitled, It's Okay to Not Be Okay. And then at 11 a.m., the reunion group will be meeting in Building B. And then later on in the evening at 7:45, the choir will have practice. Then come Wednesday, the 21st, at 7 p.m., the Oasis will be meeting in the church lobby, and they are still doing a study in the book of Hebrew. And then we finish out Saturday with Romeo's and Juliet's meeting at Sophia's for breakfast. And then the announcements of birthdays. For today, Simone Green and Gracie Bean have a birthday today. And then a couple by the name of Frank and Rose Garcia are celebrating their 20th, they're having an anniversary on the 22nd.
Are you sure, Frank?
I believe so. 15 short years. Now, let us sing happy birthday to Simone and Gracie on the count of three. One, two, three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
And many more. Happy anniversary
to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary. God bless you. Happy anniversary to you.
Amen. And many more. Okay. Is there any announcements for the upcoming walk? No? Okay. Anybody else have any announcements to make?
I do.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Just want to let the congregation know that there will be a video presentation this morning from Bishop Robert Snazy concerning some very important matters going on with the church, so I would encourage you to listen to that. And also, there'll be posted on our website, there'll be different times that, well, he'll be, if you want to see him in person or you want to hear him, he'll be at University Church, okay, University United Methodist Church here in San Antonio on the 29th. But there'll be the exact times and details will be posted for you. The bishop is making his way across the conference, and what he's doing, he's informing the congregations of their, you know, of the questions and what they may have on what they're calling the disassociation. So, just there'll be about a short 5-minute video after modern affirmation. Also, Chris Lawler, am I saying this right? I got this from Tessie. I think you texted her about a gathering the gathering is on the 20th? At what time? Okay, there'll be an Emmaus gathering on the 20th at 7 p.m. at Universal City United Methodist Church. So if you're interested, please come out and be a part of the Emmaus community. All right, Frank. I'm
Thank you.
If I go any further, I'll start preaching.
Thank you, Pastor.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you that I am saved by grace through faith in Christ's finished work on Calvary. But Lord, I want to be your disciple and take up my own cross daily and follow you in humble obedience. I pray that I may willingly submit to your will in every area of my life and to share in Christ's sufferings so that I may be continuously transformed by his death into the likeness of Christ. To your praise and glory, this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
As we prepare for our tithes and our offerings, let's go to God in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, you are the giver. We come knowing that all we have is a gift of your hand. And we ask, Lord, that as we return now but a small portion of the bounty that you give to each of us, that you take our tithes and offerings, use them for your glory.
Yes.
In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Today is from Luke chapter 14, verses 25 to 34. The cost of being a disciple. large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be a disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, "This person began to build and wasn't able to finish." Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able, with 10,000 men, to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
That you are seeking to bring us further along the journey. We want to walk at our own pace, free to take whatever side trails beckon. But you are insisting on being the leader. It is non-negotiable. I've learned long ago that I can't rely on my own will and determination. I am weak. Today I call upon you afresh. for help to follow you faithfully. Forgive my sins of willfulness and selfishness. Forgive my grasping at the props of the world. Forgive my flimsy excuses. Restore to me the full saltiness of one of your own. Have mercy upon me.
Yes, Lord.
In your holy name I pray, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I ask that you please join me in our affirmation of faith. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare.
We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom,
power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good.
We believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in times of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love, and set forth
an example of our blessed Lord to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth.
Amen.
And I think now we're going to hear from our bishop.
Hello, friends. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. During the last couple of weeks in visiting with pastors and in congregations, I'm just aware that we have several congregations that are struggling with conversations about disaffiliation, about whether their congregation leaves the Rio Texas Conference and the United Methodist Church or whether it remains. And some of our churches are wrestling with what it means to leave and the implications, and others are wrestling with what the implications are for remaining. And there have been videos circulated from other annual conferences that maybe have accurate information for their context, but they're not true to the context here in the Rio Texas Conference. And all of these conversations and information has made me feel the need to meet with more people face-to-face in the same room. I want to hear from you. I want to hear from the laity of our churches and our pastors, and I'd like to share what's on my heart. These are big decisions with significant implications, and it merits our willingness to gather and have conversation about them. Over the next few weeks, I'll be hosting a number of gatherings across our annual conference. The goal of these is to worship together, to provide accurate and up-to-date information, for me to hear your questions and for you to hear my heart, my hopes. And everyone's invited, pastors and laity, everyday disciples that serve in your congregation. You'll be receiving more detailed information about dates and places in the next few days. Now, friends, it grieves my heart that disaffiliation conversations are taking up so much of our energy. And yet I understand the seriousness of this moment and the significance of these conversations. These are necessary conversations. The Rio Texas Conference and its predecessor conferences have a rich history in South Texas, serving the diverse communities from West Texas, the Hill Country, San Antonio and Austin, East Texas, the Coastal Bend, and the Rio Grande Valley. This history shapes who we are each and every day, a history of working together alongside one another, of mutual encouragement in ministry despite our many differences in perspective and experience and context. What gives me hope about the future of the Rio Texas Conference and the United Methodist Church is the witness of our people, the everyday disciples and hardworking pastors who offer dedicated service to Christ in their communities year in and year out. Sometimes disruption has a healthy component.
causing all of us, every pastor and congregation, to rethink why we do what we do and to consider what God is calling us to do in our unique context and time and who God has sent us to reach with the good news that God has met our highest hopes and deepest needs in Jesus Christ. How we handle disruption and disagreement bears witness to the world around us of what it means to be followers of Jesus Christ. My desire is that we stay together both outwardly and inwardly. Outwardly in remaining together in the connection called the Rio Texas Conference, but inwardly in communion, remaining, even if some of us choose to leave the United Methodist Church, that we remain one in Christ. In the fourth chapter of Ephesians, Paul writes, "I, therefore, prisoner of the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all lowliness and meekness, with patience, forbearing one another in love," with patience, "forbearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace." It's in this spirit that we will gather, and I hope you will join me. Watch for details and dates and place. And I just give God thanks for every one of you and pray God's blessing upon your ministry and upon your family. God bless you.
We now prepare our hearts for the message that the Holy Spirit has given to our pastor. Let us pray. Father God, we are seekers. We are your children, but we know so little. We ask, Lord, that at this time you give us peace and you open our hearts and minds so that we may listen to the message that your Holy Spirit has given to Pastor Ted. Strengthen our pastor. Give him the courage to speak your word and let his words be your words always. And as we go through this process, trying to discern what the future holds for this congregation and for our church, we ask that you give us strength and guidance along the way and help us to be your disciples, to be the ones, to be your voice in the world today. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Let the church say amen this morning. Amen. Oh, come on now. Don't look so gloom, all right? It's going to be okay. It is. It's going to be all right. It's tough. I know it is. And we got some big decisions. But don't forget who we follow. Amen? Amen. We follow Christ. And no matter what happens, if you are a believer in Christ, you have nothing to worry about. Amen? Amen. Because Jesus is coming soon. And you won't have to worry about which way you're going to have to go. Amen? Amen. Amen. So cheer up this morning. Cheer up. Cheer up. Because you know what, folks? The Lord's going to take care of everything. He is. He really is. I believe that. Gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We ask, Lord, that this morning that you would hide me behind the cross. Oh, Lord, I ask that you would help me with my stammering lips, my weak heart and my weak faith. Oh, Lord, I pray for your strength. I pray for your guidance and your mercy this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Our title this morning is Count the Cost of Discipleship. Counting the cost of discipleship. You know, folks, the gift of salvation is absolutely free. Amen? Won't cost you a thing. Nothing. Yet, it'll cost you everything. Because this is Jesus' warning in those verses to those who are just in it for the thrills, along for the ride, so to speak. You see, what Christ wants, he wants all of your life. He wants everything. And in return, he offers eternal life and salvation.
Now, I can't help but wondering when they, when I read this, that, you know what? Boy, that sounded just like the U.S. Navy when I joined. They told me they wanted everything. They wanted all of my time. They told me where to go, what to do, everything, you know. And even when the ship would get ready to get underway and we'd get ready to go on deployment, I'd look on the pier and we'd all be there on the weather decks looking at our families, and we'd be a waving and just a crying. And some old salty bosun's mate cheek would come about and say, you know what, shipmates? If the Navy would have wanted you to have a wife, they'd have put it in your sea bag. So go back to work. So we ended all of that real quick. Amen. Count the cost of discipleship. In high school, I was a student. I wasn't a very good student. I was one of the students who, when I made a C, I thought I was doing really good. My whole emphasis in high school was just to, I don't know, just to run around, chase girls, and do nothing. You know? So I wasn't a very good student. I wasn't committed to anything except leaving. Wanted to know what time was it going to leave. But here, that classroom was small. But the type of commitment that Christ is looking for from us today is, he wants us to be his students, his disciples. But you see, it costs something to be a disciple of Christ. Oh, it's not easy. The way it's not going to be easy, and there's going to be a lot of problems going to come up. But Jesus says, don't worry, hold on. You just hold on. So whatever type of student you may have been in the past, and I suspect some of you were probably A, B students. You probably wasn't like me. If you're a follower of Christ, he's calling you to be a student again. You know, and he calls his students disciples. And he's always teaching them about the kingdom of God. And you can see that throughout the gospel. So if you're called to be his disciple, you are called to be a student of the Savior. So being a student of Christ or a disciple isn't exactly like it used to be in school. You see, the class is much larger. Much larger. The stakes are so much higher. And the potential cost is much greater than you may have even imagined. But thankfully, we have access to all of Jesus' teachings, his earliest disciples, and all the things that they had. So we can learn from these teachings how we can learn to follow Christ in faith. So let's look back at one of the most challenging and probably clear-cut verses that you've ever read. And I must tell you that when I read these verses, I said, Lord, what in the world are you telling us to do here? You're telling us to hate our mother, our father? You're telling us to hate our wives? What's going on here? And yet you told us that in the Ten Commandments, you said to honor our father and our mother. So, but I think if you look at these verses in context, you'll see that these verses speak of giving your all to Christ. You see, back in those days in the Near East and ancient Israel, one's family was very, very important to them. Family was extremely important, and you always put your family above everything else. But here Jesus is kind of flipping the coin a little bit. He's saying, now I want you to put me first. I want to be number one in your life. I want you to put me over your family. You see, with this in mind, it makes sense now that Jesus would warn us, those coming to him, that they were going to, if they were going to succeed, that they were going to have to follow him all the way to the end. They would need to be totally and completely committed. That's the key word here, totally and completely committed. And if anybody knew about commitment or what was at stake, it was Jesus. So this is a stern warning to all those who are eager to go to get in on a piece of the kingdom, But Jesus is telling him, you know, he says in Luke 12:50-51, from now on there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two and two against three. They will be divided. Father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Following Jesus is very, very costly. And so he's trying to weed out those who may be in it just for the short term. You know, those short-term seekers. I call them the fence rattlers. The uncommitted cannot understand that in order to find their life, they must lose theirs. And they must be willing to accurately count the potential cost of becoming a follower, a disciple of Christ. I wonder this morning, have you considered the cost? Have you counted the cost of what it takes to follow Jesus? I wonder this morning if you've given your all, or do you put Jesus on the back burner and only pull him out on Sundays and maybe Wednesdays? I wonder this morning, that could the Lord count on you to be his student? Or will we be focused on other things? Jesus wants all of us, folks. He wants 100%. He requires 100% of me, and he requires 100% of you also. Is that bad? No, because you know what, folks? The Lord, he gave his life. He gave more than 100%. He gave his own life. He gave his own life for us. So let's look at verse. I want to look at verse 20. I believe it's 27. Is that right? No, here it is. Verse 27. This is what he says. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. What is this cross that Jesus wants you to carry? Is he talking about maybe the problems and issues in your life? No, it doesn't. You see, it was a custom in Palestine in those days that condemned prisoners would have to carry their own cross. No, folks, I believe that Jesus is talking that one day you may have to die for his cause. Amen? Oh, I pray that never happens, but I don't know. He's saying that you may have to give up your life in order to follow him. And there have been so many that have done that, have given up their life. You see, we must be willing to lose everything, including our very lives, as we follow Christ. And those who are simply seeking a good show, a leg up in life, or a quick healing will be sorely disappointed to learn that becoming a true disciple of Christ requires absolute commitment and attention in everyday area of life. The Lord leaves no stone unturned in us as he calls us heavenward. The first part of those verses, the Lord is preaching to some very large crowd. People are following him all over the place. They're coming, they heard what he does and what he's doing, and they want to see, who is this person that's healing the sick? Who is this person that's feeding these folks? They really didn't want to commit to him. They simply wanted to come and find out what's going on. Amen? Sometimes maybe that's the way we are. Sometimes we just want to find out what's going on. But Jesus requires you to do more than that. You see, folks that were coming, he wanted to make sure that they knew what they were getting into. Amen? I like to always think that in the Navy, whenever time they offered some type of bonus, i.e. submarine pay, you know, you were getting into something that you probably didn't want to get into. So you would always want to make sure you read the fine print. Amen? Don't just grab the money. Find out what you're getting into. Jesus is teaching us this morning that he wants us to be his disciple, but he wants us to know that there is a cost to that. And that cost is, he wants your commitment. And what does that commitment mean? He wants to know that he is number one in your life. Not number two, not number three, not after the football game, but he wants to be before all of it. Amen? And what we have to do as Christians, we have to make the determination whether or not we want to be, Jesus wants to be number one in our life. Because, folks, you can't be a fence rattler. You can't be a fence rattling Christian. Sooner or later, the Lord's going to get you off of that fence. Amen? And you're going to have to make a decision which way you want to go. So I want to encourage you this morning to count the cost of discipleship. And while you're counting the cost, remember what Jesus has done for you. Remember that he counted the cost all the way to Calvary. He counted the cost all the way to his death and his resurrection. And he counted the cost when he rose again and he gave us eternal life to all those who believe in him. So count the cost for sure. Jesus did not want them folks to go into this half-heartedly. He didn't want them to do this. He wanted them to know what they're getting to. As I close this morning, just a brief story about a preacher, a pastor, a writer. Many years ago, back in the 30s and 40s, the name of this pastor is Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And I read just a little bit of his book, some of his documentary. But this person was in this country during 39 and 40 and 41 when things in Europe were just upside down. It wasn't a good place to be if you were a Christian. And Pastor Bonhoeffer was in New York City visiting with some churches. And they begged him not to go back to Germany. They say, Pastor, would you please stay here with us? He said, no, the Lord is calling me back to my people. He knew that when he came back to Germany, he was going to be faced with imprisonment and possibly death. He came back and he kept preaching. And eventually, they killed him. He was killed in 1945. He was hanged. But you know what, folks? He knew the cost of discipleship, and he was willing to pay it. Sometimes it's not so easy. It's easy for us to come in here and go to church and look all pretty and pious and, you know, and little halos hanging over everybody's head. That's great. But what about your life outside? What are you doing outside? What are you watching on TV? What are you listening to on the radio? Where are you going? What are you doing? What things are you getting into? Are you getting into things that would honor Christ? You know, I used to think that I could go anywhere as a Christian. But someone told me this. He said, Ted, ask yourself this question before you do anything you got a question about. Would Jesus be happy in this place? Would you be happy to bring Jesus here? Listen to me this morning, dear one. Jesus ended that statement, those verses with this. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. What that means is there were those who were given the choice of being a disciple or not. And he's telling you the same thing this morning. If you got ears, hear him and obey him. You say, well, preacher, I can't do that. Oh, I tell you, folks. You can't do without it. Amen? You can't do without it as a Christian. You must follow him. You must be his disciple. And know this. Know this. Jesus said, I'll be with you all the way, even unto the ends of the earth. So what are you worried about? Amen? What's your problem? What's your issue? He used to tell me, he'd say, what's your problem, shipmate? What are you worried about? Well, I'm worried about my family, Chief. Jesus said, don't worry about your family. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about those things. I need you here in San Antonio to be my disciple, to be my student. I need you. There's some folks out here that don't know nothing about Christ. There's some folks out here that may not have nothing to eat or nothing. I need you to be my eyes and ears in this community. Oh, I challenge you this morning. Would you do that? You counted the cost. Now you know. Now you know what it costs to follow the Lord. Would you follow the Lord this morning? We give thanks to you, O Lord. We thank you so much for your love. We thank you for the invitation to be your disciple. And we ask that you would look in each heart. Look deep, Lord. Look in those places, those things that we try to hide. Get those things out of the way so that we might be your disciple. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The invitation is given to anyone who would like to answer the call to be a disciple today. The altar is open for anyone who may not even know the Lord. Oh, I trust it that if you don't know him, today is a very, 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 very good day to know him. Amen?
Amen.
Because tomorrow, well, Pastor, you know, I'll take care of it. You may not have that opportunity tomorrow. Amen? Amen. The altar is open for all who wish to come.
Would you stand for a hymn of invitation? Wonderful Words of Life. Sing them over again to me.
Shout out and thoughts and prayers to all of our homebound members, Esther Goins, Esther Berryman, Hector Martinez, and it's so beautiful, wonderful to see Eileen here, but she is one of our homebound, but she made it this morning, so it's a beautiful day that she's here. Amen. Martha is here this morning after 2 or 3 weeks in her successful surgery. So, hallelujah. And her beautiful daughter-in-law, Heather. And who brightened my day when they are here are Karen and Dougie. Hello, Dougie. Let's continue to keep all of our men and women in our military in our thoughts and prayers. We are a big military church family, so just keep us all in them in thoughts and prayers. All of the family, the descendants. And also, all the men and women in blue, the firefighters, especially the ones out in California, Oregon, Idaho, been battling all summer fires. And unfortunately, a few have lost their lives. So God be with all of military, firefighters, men in blue, first responders. So God bless them all. Also, Dad is in very bad shape, as most of y'all know. Trying to get him into a hospital. But a root canal is a lot less painless and a lot easier than trying to get him into a hospital. So, and y'all that all know him, asking prayers for my father. He's just very, very sick. And Sandy and Jislyn are asking prayers, asked to pray for Nikita, the daughter of Geraldine's co-worker. COVID has complicated other health risks, and she is in ICU. Lord, hear our prayers. God be with Nikita and wrap his healing arms around her and hold the family dear. Also, Sandy Bundick's grandson, Patrick, her great-granddaughter, Madison, and Stephen, Dixie Souter's sisters, Leona and Martha, Gerda Hader's sister in Germany, God be with all of them. Alice Tyler's son, Chris, and friend, Barb, Jean Bixler's friends, Cindy and Conrad Murray, along with Stella and Delbert Saunders, God be with them. Mike, a neighbor in need, Lord, hear our prayers. And Virginia, she's still having some issues, and so God bless you, Virginia. And it's great whenever you're here on Saturdays for breakfast with the rest of us. So, hallelujah. But her granddaughter, Reagan, Connie Jackson's sister, Juanita Fazer, Cheryl Migosh's daughter, Stephanie, who hopefully is on the downside of her battle with COVID. Good deal, Cheryl. Lord, hear our prayers. Continued prayers of uplifting for Ted and Tessie, for Bonnie Chambers, and for her daughters Allison and Kelly and their families. And it's wonderful to see Selma here this morning. But continued prayers of uplifting for Selma, the Sheck family, and the Francis family. God be with all of them. And I'm assuming we'll, before much longer, Selma, some type of celebration. Okay, well, continued prayers for the Francis and the Sheck family, so God be with them. For Maria Crafton, that's Sherry's daughter, Maria. Selma said she was on her way home this morning, so safe journeys, Maria. God be with you. For Homer and his family, for Sandra Boykins, and she's doing good with her knee replacement also. So, hallelujah. For Janice Walker and James Murphy. For Diane Skaggs. And for Barbara and Jim Whitney, as she's got, anyway, for the Whitney family. And Lance is struggling the last week or so, but he's got us, so amen, Lance. For Norma Glenn and her family, for two more homebound that are very dear, are Jim and Linda McMillan. For Kathy Bedell, and she's here this morning, but still need prayers of uplifting for Joni.
I got a good report Thursday, so we're good.
Hallelujah. Amen. For Mrs. Walker and for Chris over there this morning, who is here, so God be with all of us. Continue to hold us and guide us to do your work. And all have a beautiful, wonderful Sunday and a wonderful and safe, joyous celebration of God's life and his work all this coming week. And I believe Pastor is going to lead us in prayer.
Thank you. It's time now. Let us prepare our hearts for prayer. Amen. Amen. Let me say this. Don't ever give up on God. Never, ever. If something is bothering you, don't get in a corner and sulk and get mad. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Amen. He's more willing to hear you than you are to tell him. Let us pray. We give thanks to you. Oh, gracious and merciful. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for your blessings. Lord, if we could just grasp just a small portion of how you love us, our whole lives would change. Thank you so much for those that are here with us today, Lord. Those that have been sick and those that are able to come to church. Thank you for hearing their prayers. We pray for those who are sick right now, Lord. Oh, Lord, we pray that you would strengthen them and strengthen their families. If it be thy will, Lord, lay your hand of healing upon their bodies. Protect them and watch over them, Lord. And Lord, we don't know where we're going. Well, actually, we do know where we're going, Lord. We're going to heaven. And Lord, but we don't know how you're going to get us there. We're following you. We don't know what we're going to have to go through. But Lord, we're trusting you that you'll take us all the way there. Be with us, Lord, as we leave this place. As we go out into the world, you're sending us up out as sheep among wolves. Fill us with your spirit. Enable us, Lord, to be the disciple you want us to be. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And as we depart from here today, friends, let us remember all those who are less fortunate than ourselves and continue to pray for all those who are homebound or ailing in any way. And I have a message to bring to you from a dear friend of myself and most of you. And you probably know that our church member, Hector Martinez, had some medical testing done recently. And he was just about as afraid of that as I would be if I were getting the same test. It's kind of difficult. But things went well for Hector. And though he had expected a negative test result, he got a clean bill of health. I called Hector last evening and asked his permission to tell you, the congregation, this morning. And his response was, well, I went to the testing facility hoping and praying for a negative result. And when I got the result, I was so sure that it was just the result of the prayer warriors here at our church. So on behalf of Hector Martinez, thanks to all of you. Because of your prayers, he now, once again, is healthy. And, you know, 72 doesn't look like a bad year. It brings back memories, but, you know, he'll catch up with us later. It is so good to hear him rejoicing that his test came back clean. Hallelujah. Let us be friendly and be safe and join together again here next Sunday when our pastor will bring us the message the Holy Spirit gives him. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Will you stand for our closing hymn? Lead on, O King Eternal. Lead on.
Lead on.